What is going on, everybody? It is Jordan McClain, and I am here to let you know that the following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Before we jump off into this week's episode, once again, I want to thank every single one of you who has listened to the podcast, any episode. I want to thank you guys who are sharing the podcast. It really means the world to me. I'm trying to build a nice little community of people here, you know, who care about wrestling, specifically independent wrestling. And I have a mission to put over independent wrestlers and to put over people that I think deserve a shot at the next level. Hopefully I'm doing that. According to the numbers and according to the feedback that you guys have given me, I'm doing just that. So once again, thank you guys so much for all of your support over these past now 6 weeks. If you're not already, make sure you're following me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. I'm talking about wrestling typically, and even if I'm not talking about wrestling, if you ask me something about wrestling, I will then be talking about wrestling. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you are currently listening to it. It's on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and a host of other platforms. Wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to click that follow button, click that subscribe button so that you do not miss any episode of the show. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's get off into this week's show. So we all know by now, 6 weeks in, this is a show that I do primarily centered around independent wrestling. The biggest promotion that I talk about is MLW, which of course I'm talking about this week on the show. But even MLW, I consider to be more of a top tier independent wrestling promotion versus a mainstream promotion. And I try to focus solely on independent wrestling, but something happened this past week that is very much worth mentioning, and I'm going to tie it into independent wrestling. So this past week, we saw that AEW and Impact Wrestling, the number two and number three promotions in the country, quite possibly in the whole world, just depending on who you ask, are working together. We've seen in the past that AEW also has a working relationship with NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance. We see that they have a working relationship with AAA down in Mexico. And what happened this past week is really important and really significant to independent wrestling. If you are an independent wrestler listening to this podcast right now, I want you to get everything in order. You guys should have your resumes together, get a great highlight reel and a low light reel, if you want to be honest. You should have your gear in check. You guys should be hitting the gym constantly. And the reason I say that is because with all of these promotions seemingly working together, an opportunity storm is about to hit professional wrestling. All these promotions working together means that a lot of the top independent talent is about to be signed off. Because these promotions are going to need more talent, more exclusive talent. Not only that, we've also seen this past week that there's quite a bit of indie talent going to WWE. You know, 2/3 of the Rascals went and signed with WWE, as well as, his name is slipping my mind. I believe his name is Zach Wentz. I believe that's what he goes by. It's completely slipping my mind. But, you know, we've seen that. Now we've seen this past Wednesday that, like I said, AEW and Impact are apparently working together. There's something happening there. That means that these companies are going to be looking for even more talent to sign. I think there's about to be a wave of signings from these major companies with these independent wrestlers. So specifically, I'm not necessarily speaking to the top independent wrestlers. I'm more so speaking to you guys who are just breaking into the business or who have been in the business for a while, but you're waiting on that next bump up in status in independent wrestling. It's coming. And I want you guys to be prepared because there's a lot of guys, some I know personally and some I don't know personally, but there are a lot of you out there, man, who are so ready for that next step, and y'all are so ready to be on a major stage. This is the time to buckle down and work your ass off. You should be looking at everyone as friendly competition. You should be looking at everyone as, I have to bust my ass harder than that person. So that when these opportunities come, and they are coming, 2021, I would say, is going to be a boom, another boom in the business, but specifically independent wrestling. These opportunities are coming, y'all. And while there is enough room for everybody to eat, there is not enough room for everybody to sit at the head of the table. So if you are currently an independent wrestler, I'm talking about unsigned. I'm not talking about you're signed to a promotion, but you can still work indie dates. I'm talking about you're completely unsigned. You're not committed to anybody. Please get your stuff in order now. It's the beginning of December. Have your shit ready. Because come 2021, when hopefully, prayerfully, COVID is completely under control and we can go back to a somewhat normal schedule and life as it pertains to professional wrestling, opportunities are going to be abound. And all I'm saying is, you guys who have been waiting for your opportunity, or you guys who are just breaking in but you're so damn good, I've talked about a whole lot of y'all on this show, and I know that there's a ton out there that I don't even know about. But if you guys are listening, get your shit in order. Because a new day is coming in professional wrestling. And I personally want all of you guys to be ready for that day. First up, we're talking Major League Wrestling. This week, we're continuing with the 2020 Opera Cup, and we're meeting the Black Hand of Contra. This is MLW Fusion episode 112. Let's jump into it. We start our show with Laredo Kid representing AAA out of Mexico, taking on ACH. If you guys remember, I chose ACH to win the whole thing, this 2020 Opera Cup, and I am standing on that 10 toes down. ACH took the win in this match and will be taking on Filthy Tom Lawler next week on MLW Fusion. From the moment he came out for his entrance, it felt like ACH had something to prove. As the match progressed, it continued feeling that way with every near fall that he got over Laredo Kid. ACH has something to prove to the world of wrestling, quite possibly to himself. And I think that this match has done a great job of being proof of his excellence. This match also began differently than I thought it would. It began as more of a foundational wrestling match instead of the high-flying and fast-paced that I had expected it to be. We did get there, but like I said, early in the match, it was definitely more traditional hold, like wrist holds and headlocks, than I was expecting. The match was also pretty even, I believe, as far as timing and pacing goes. Both men were able to do what they needed to do and really showcase themselves at various points within the match. ACH used his strength advantage very well to somewhat keep Laredo Kid grounded and showcase his technique against him. But on the opposite side of that, Laredo Kid did do a great job of showcasing his high-flying style. Also, just as a side question, is Lucha Strong Style a thing? Because a lot of Laredo Kid's striking felt like what we would see with Strong Style competitors. And I don't know if we're considering it like Lucha Strong Style, or do we just give the credit to Japan? I don't know. Y'all let me know on Instagram or Twitter. So ACH actually had a move in this match. It was a beautiful move where he rolled through on a crossbody, swung Laredo Kid into a backbreaker. Then it was a straight over the head Northern Lights throw. And I just thought altogether that that was a beautiful sequence. It, again, showcased ACH's strength advantage in this match. All in all, I think this was a great match. Laredo Kid didn't look weak by any means, but ACH came out looking strong as hell. Like, even in the post-match interview, he had that grittiness that said he's ready to prove himself because a lot of people still sleep on him. In his own words, he said in the promo, he's fucking hungry. So I can't wait to see what's in store for ACH, not just in the Opera Cup and MLW, but his entire future in the business. With everything that happened in the more recent past, I'm excited to see him bounce back. I'm excited to see what he's going to do and what his next major moves are in the wrestling business. Next up, we've got the Black Hand of Contra, who we now know as Mads Kruger. Damn, this dude is big. This dude is big. He's big, he's lean, and I felt sorry for his opponent, Ariel Dominguez, from the very beginning of this match. You know, he was tossing him around like a tiger with a chew toy, bro. Like, it was crazy. There's actually not much to say about this match. You know, we saw a little bit of hope where Dominguez tried to use his speed and kind of dodge out of the way, but this match was over in under 2 minutes. And there's really nothing to say. There's not much to say other than, look, y'all, if you watched it, you already know what I'm going to say. What do I always say about big dudes? Big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. That's what Mads Kruger was doing. I loved it. I really loved that. And I really like what they're doing with Contra. I remember tweeting that like last year when we were just sort of learning who Contra was and kind of getting all those pieces put into place. I remember saying I loved it then. And it's not unheard of in wrestling to see a sort of monstrous stable, but I do think that Contra and MLW are doing a great job of balancing this whole thing, balancing this whole story. You know, they're not overwhelming with their strength, but it's enough to keep MLW on their toes as they go against them. I think it's very well done. I think Contra is probably, when I think about it, Contra is probably one of the best storylines going in professional wrestling. You know, next week on MLW Fusion, you got Contra, Jacob Fatu and Simon Gotch actually taking on the Von Erichs for the tag team titles. That match is going to be absolutely crazy. Finally, we come to the main event. This is a short show. It's only an hour long, only 3 matches. So we finally come to the main event of MLW Fusion. Davey Boy Smith Jr. taking on Low Ki in the first round of the 2020 Opera Cup. Let me say this. I picked ACH to win this whole thing, and I stand by that. I think ACH is going to win the whole thing. But Low Ki is a super close second for me personally. he is extremely intense. You know, he's that silent assassin. And I've loved Low-Key's vibe since I first seen him wrestle how many ever years ago that was now. I love the storytelling of this match with the story of the 2019 Opera Cup and that kind of coming back into the fold. This was another match like ACH where it felt like Low-Key, because of the story, was coming in with something to prove. The way their match went last year, it would make perfect sense that Low-Key would come into this match with a sort of chip on his shoulder, you know? You love to see that kind of intensity when it comes to wrestlers and their matches and their storylines. I also love that this felt like both men wanted a respectful match. You know, Low-Key has that infamy of being a knockout artist, but Davey Boy Smith, has a clear size and strength advantage. So, but during this match, it felt like they wanted to have this really respectful match. You know, Low-Key could have came in and kicked him one good time and knocked him out. Davey Boy Smith probably could have done the same thing. But it felt like they wanted an actual match out of this. And it also plays into the storytelling where Low-Key wants to prove he can beat Davey Boy Smith, not just knock him out. And Davey Boy Smith wants to prove that he can have a repeat and win the 2020 Opera Cup a year after winning the 2019 Opera Cup. Y'all know me. I love having a full story behind matches because, to me, if it doesn't make sense, it can't make dollars. You see what I'm saying? If it doesn't make sense, it can't make dollars. Nothing felt out of place in this match. Every move, every hold, every strike felt like there was a reason for it. Low-Key kept his intensity throughout the match, and for a time it felt like Davey Boy Smith took himself to a place that he usually would not go in order to keep Low-Key grounded. They had a moment where Low-Key was hitting like some vicious elbow shots to the crown of Davey Boy Smith's head, and then Davey Boy just like chucked him out of the ring. And in those moments outside of the ring, it felt like Davey Boy hit the level, like I said, where he realized he wasn't going to get the win. He wasn't going to get what he wanted by playing nice and by being respectful with Low-Key. That was the moment where they turned this whole match like up a notch for me. I think this may have been the first time I've personally seen Low-Key be so overpowered and on the losing end of a match for so long. Although he did ultimately win, this felt like the first time I've really seen Low-Key be vulnerable for most of a match. And Low-Key actually came back with a some nasty like kicks to Davey Boy Smith to his face, followed up with like a big shotgun drop kick. I love that spot. And it showed some of that aggression out of Low-Key that we are used to, but also like a sense of urgency. Low-Key, it was almost like in those moments he realized the longer this match goes, the worse it could be for him. So there was that sense of urgency, like he wanted to go ahead and put him away right in those moments. I think it's also noteworthy that I try to stay out of the shoot side of these shows and the shoot side of the business altogether when I'm talking on this show. But this is actually Davey Boy's last match in MLW. I got an email from MLW with the transcript from the media call that Court Bauer had did yesterday, where Court said, and I quote, "Davey Boy's exit in the opening round of the Opera Cup marks the end of this chapter for Davey Boy Smith in MLW." So, you know, not going into it, not really knowing that, you know what I mean? Because I didn't read through the email when I got it. I just kind of glanced at it. So I didn't realize that. But going into it, I guess it the match ended up making a lot more sense. There was some poetic justice, so to speak, from Low-Ki doing the same submission that he did in 2019 and turning what looked to be a similar win into his own pin. This match just had some fantastic storytelling. It's some beautiful storytelling. I absolutely loved it. And I love the overall show. MLW is fantastic. You know, they have to be one of, if not the most consistent promotions in professional wrestling. And I think it's because they don't try too hard. You know, they put in effort in their shows, but they don't try too hard to like pack their shows with 10 matches and 20 promos. They do what needs to be done to tell the story that they want to tell. And it's a wonderful thing to see. So big shout out to MLW for that, for being consistent with their product. Next up, we're talking Pro South from Piedmont, Alabama. Pro South presented their event Black Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving. And overall, it was a fantastic card from top to bottom. Let's jump into that review right now. We begin our show with some New Era wrestling action. One half of the New Era Tag Team Champions, Cody Windham, took on Ricky Cagle for the New Era Open Championship. I want to speak briefly to the fact that Pro South has a working relationship with a couple of promotions. They work with New Era, and they have a relationship with Southern Honor in Georgia. There's one more that I cannot think of for the life of me. So forgive me to whomever that promotion may be. I'm sure somebody will remind me once the show comes out. But I love to see promotions working with each other. You know, since before I got in the business, I felt like you catch more bees with honey than vinegar. If you work together, get the talent in front of more eyes, everyone benefits. So kudos to Pro South for that. On to the matchup. It started as just about any wrestling matchup would. Both men going hold for hold and feeling each other out. One thing I loved was that although this match had pretty much no implications for Pro South, both men still put in maximum effort. It would have been easy to just phone it in, so to speak, but they didn't. They still went out and produced a great match. The action was an even back and forth pace for the most part. No wrestler had a clear advantage over the other. There weren't any huge over-the-top spots. And I think this match should be considered a testament to the statement, less can be more. You can have a great match at any position on the card without all the bells and whistles. This match was great without all the extra stuff overall. You know, Ricky Cagle comes out with the win in this match. It was great. It was a great wrestling match. Fantastic. Kudos to both men for having a wrestling match and it still being good. Next up, we've got Reynolds taking on Eric Silva. This storyline has been one of my personal favorite storylines that Pro South has produced in the last few months. I'm not sure who had the pen on this, but they deserve all the credit in the world because of the mystery and the intrigue that they've managed to produce with it. This was definitely that kind of match that you need to go back and watch the last few episodes to make sure you understand what's happening in this match. We've seen more offense from Reynolds than what we're used to. He got off a beautiful step up Enziguri into a sidekick on Silva pretty early in the match. Silva attempted the comeback, but eventually got caught in a rear naked choke from Reynolds. From there, it felt like it was pretty back and forth with both men. It felt like this match, it felt like they were out to hurt each other. And that was good. That's really the only way that I can put it. That was great. There was that feeling of these men really want to hurt each other. But then during the match, you get some great storytelling. Silva actually calls Reynolds John. Reynolds covers up for the first time that we've seen him in action. Big shout out to James Hardy for pointing that out. He and Faith, I think, just as a sidebar, he and Faith did a great job on commentary during this show. But like I said, you know, Reynolds covering up for the first time since he's been at Pro South. It was just some good storytelling. They went back and forth having almost a full-blown conversation, you know, hugging it out, things like that. But of course, in true pro wrestling fashion, it ended up being a ruse. You know, Silva picked up the win in this match, and we got more storytelling after the match. All around, I think this was a fantastic match. Storytelling alone, it could go for match of the show. And I don't know if this is the end of this storyline, but it felt like the end. And if that is the case, if this was the end of that storyline, I'm really, really excited to see what happens from here with both of these men. Well, we know what happens with Silva in the coming weeks. We're going to talk about that later on in this episode. But yeah, I'm really excited for the future of both men. On a more personal note, I saw, I believe it was last week, that Silva is actually signed on and putting in some work with OVW now. And personally, I love that because it says to me that Silva is taking this even more serious. To all the wrestlers and aspiring wrestlers out there, it's perfectly fine to train where you can. I know some fantastic wrestlers who trained in a backyard for $20 a week. So I'm not saying that you have to go to any of these big wrestling schools or anything like that. Train where you can, train where it's affordable, train in your area, whatever you have to do. But to get to that next level, it's okay to branch out. It's okay to go somewhere bigger and with a name or with a big time trainer if you can afford it, because it says that not only are you serious about the craft, but you're serious about the business. You know what I mean? Because going to these bigger places like OVW, WWA4, JPWA, I believe Rodney Mack and Jazz and Thunder Rosa now have a training school in San Antonio, Texas. Booker T has his training school. It says that you're taking the business more serious, not just the in-ring aspect of it, but you want to learn the business and you want to get further in the business. Nothing but respect for Eric Silva for that. Next up, we've got Attempted Murder taking on Southern Strong Style in tag team action. I'm not sure how long Southern Strong Style has been teaming up, but I really enjoy them. I enjoy them a lot. They're a young team. They're very charismatic, and I think that they worked well together in this opening, in the opening of this match against Attempted Murder. During the match, we got a double gator roll, which was a very unique way for Attempted Murder to regain control. Aleister Crowe in particular is really great at the mind games, man. I like seeing Aleister Crowe in the ring because not just his presence, but his actions, his movements, it plays well. He does what he does very, very well. Dorian Crowe hit a chop block, and Attempted Murder then went on to continue to work on the leg of Proc the Croc Johnson in this match. Again, some very great wrestling storytelling right there. You take out the leg and then continue working the leg. So Pro South has some unique rules in their tag team matches. And I think Pro South may be the only place that I've ever actually seen these unique rules. And I'm not opposed to it. One of their rules during tag team action is that you don't have to actually tag in and out. If the legal man rolls out of the ring or rolls onto the apron, then his partner can legally get into the ring. So basically rolling out of the ring can be considered a tag as well. And I like that. I like that rule, you know, because it keeps the action going during the match. You don't just have guys kind of waiting around, you know, to get the tag in. It just keeps the action going. Proc the Croc Johnson hit a spine buster. Y'all know I love the spine buster. Spine buster is my favorite move in professional wrestling. So anytime someone hits one, especially a good clean one, I pop for it. At some point, I'm going to have to get a spine buster sound for this show. Not too long after that, J2 Strong hit a nasty choke slam on Aleister Crowe. He got that man up like he was Kane or Big Show or something. It was good. It was a good, solid choke slam. Ultimately, though, through a little bit of trickery, Attempted Murder picks up the win in this match. Overall, this was a great tag team match. It was well put together in the sense that Southern Strong Style did not look weak, but Attempted Murder came out looking monstrous in the end of this match. So my question is, does this put Attempted Murder in line for a tag team title shot? You know, I guess we're going to have to wait and see in due time. In our next matchup, we've got Marcus Eriks, known only in my mind as Cool Hair, taking on Damian Serratone. There was not a lot to this match. Damian hit an enziguri, a big-time enziguri on Marcus Eriks. But before that, he yelled out, "I like your cut, G." And then he hit the enziguri. I laughed harder than I should have. You hear me laughing now. But when I first seen it, I had to pause the show. I laughed really hard. That was just a nice little moment to me. But Damian Serratone was in complete control for most of this match. He got off two beautiful German suplexes. His striking was on point in this match. And he got a pretty decisive victory over Marcus Eriks. No muss, no fuss. He done what needed to be done. We're going to see more from Damian Serratone at the end of the show. So, again, moving forward, we've got my guy, Brandon Watley, taking on Cameron Keast for the All Out Championship. They did some jaw-jabbing in the beginning of this match, which I liked. And Brandon Watley showed some serious aggression. And it was everything that I personally needed to see out of Brandon Watley. The strikes hit a little different. He wasn't waiting for Keast to bring the fight to him. Brandon Watley had something to prove here. And I think whatever this sort of transformation is that we've been seeing out of B-Watt is exactly what he needs. Sometimes you just have to make these people feel you. And, you know, even with my praise of Brandon, the match was back and forth and it was intense. There were plenty of moments where it felt like Cameron Keast, had this match ended. He done a knee strike toward the end of this match that had Brandon on full tilt. Ultimately, Cameron Keast, with the help of Roma Miller, retained the All Out Championship. And when I seen this, I immediately went into fantasy booker mode. If I were booking this storyline, this would be the straw that breaks Brandon Watley. From this point, I would want to see a much more aggressive Brandon Watley. Maybe not necessarily full-on heel, but definitely anti-hero. You know, throw a little caution to the wind. Break a couple of rules to get where you're supposed to be and whoop somebody's ass. That's what I would hope to see out of Brandon Watley moving forward. Next match, we've got four-way action for the YouTube Championship. We got Roma Miller versus Shane Mako versus Scott Patterson versus Robbie Vio, who is the champion. So, immediately, we get a ref bump. Referee Jesse Fields is taken out of action, and from there, everything descends into chaos. Thankfully, Amy Haven quickly said that next week, meaning December the 4th, so it'll happen before you hear this show, there was going to be a ladder match so that we wouldn't even keep having this issue. Let me tell y'all something. I was going to get big mad if this nonsense continued. Y'all know I don't like multi-man matches. I've said it a couple times on this podcast. I don't care for multi-man matches for this specific reason. They can get so chaotic and people can easily lose track of what's going on. I realize that in this particular sense, it was done to set up for the next match between these four. So I'm good with it. But that beginning, that start, that was the example of what I'm always talking about. They can get so chaotic. I don't know. I'm traumatized, I guess, from my childhood. I don't know. Anyway, like I said, we're going to get the ladder match. And by the time you hear this show, that match will have already taken place. So, moving on, because of course we need just a little bit more chaos, Austin Towers comes out and proclaims that because of his 2020 Battle Rumble win, he is cashing in to face either Ace Haven or Tyler Colpret, whoever is the Pro South champion. We then get Trevor Eon coming out and basically saying that the path to the Pro South Championship has to go through him. Then we get Eric Silva, who comes out and corrects the both of them and says, the path to the championship, the path, you see what I did there, goes through Eric Silva. It's chaos. Towers and Trevor were fighting. That was like a freaking something out of a action movie. Silva pops the hell up like he's Undertaker. It was crazy. But all in all, with all three men now laying claim to the Pro South title, we end up getting a triple threat number one contenders match on December the 18th, the Pro South anniversary show. So although a match didn't technically happen during this segment, I wanted to highlight this moment because it was very meaningful. You have three black men in a position to be champion. Even in the mainstream of professional wrestling, it's rare. So to see these three black men in this position, it means a lot to me personally as a black wrestling fan. Pro South in general does a great job, I think, of featuring black talent. And I like to shout it out and give props where, you know, props are due. They don't have to, but they do. So big shout out to Pro South for, putting black talent on, letting black talent shine, because black wrestlers do matter, ladies and gentlemen. Finally, we've come to the main event of the show. Tyler Colpret defending the Pro South Championship against Ace Haven. There was a big fight feel, big implications for Pro South in general, because again, the winner of this match has to look forward to either Towers, Silver, or Eon, depending on that big match that was made for December the 18th. That triple threat is going to be explosive. I'm really excited for that. But as far as this match goes, I think both men done a great job of showing intensity and putting over just how important this moment in this match was for the both of them. They were hard-hitting and they were methodical in how they approached each other, but they did it in very different ways. Ace Haven showed all of the heart in this match, but Tyler Colpret showed more strategy and more thought in his approach. And I think it's great storytelling that both men can showcase the same end game in two different ways. You know what I mean? Ace did like a tornado pedigree I think that was the closest thing that I could think to call it, like a tornado pedigree from the middle rope that was really innovative. I don't think I've ever seen the pedigree done like that before. And I also think in that moment, Tyler Copret sold it well. They sold well throughout this match with the both of them pulling shenanigans. Well, not both of them pulling shenanigans, but for the back and forth action, I think that they both sold it very well. So things get hectic, okay? Amy Haven basically gets chased into the ring by attempted murder. Damian Serotonin makes the save for Amy. And then Black Lariat's Matter shows up to take out Damian. You follow me? Attempted murder chases Amy Haven into the ring. Damian Serotonin saves Amy Haven. Black Lariat's Matter take out Damian Serotonin. Then we have a moment where Joe Black is kind of pleading with Amy to move out of the way because Black Lariat's Matter is trying to get to Ace Haven. And William Huckabee just punches the hell out of Amy Haven. I mean, just straight right hooked her. It just straight to the jaw. He just punched the hell out of her. And Amy sold it well. Shout out to Amy. She sold that perfectly. But we saw a little bit of dissension in Black Lariat's Matter, in the way that, you know, Joe Black was not really cool with Huckabee punching Amy Haven. Huckabee says, you know, she was in the ring. What was I supposed to do? She was in the ring. She was in the way. And I could see that logic being applied to a lot of people. You know, if you're not necessarily designated to be in the ring, such as a referee or a ring announcer, if you're not necessarily designated to be in the ring, but you are in the ring, it's kind of fair game. A little bit. I'm not saying that Huckabee should have punched Amy Haven. I'm just saying, and I know Amy knows and agrees with it, if you get in the ring, you run the risk of getting punched in the face. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I agree with what Huckabee did, because I think that Amy, I think Joe could have talked Amy out of the way. It seemed like she was moving reluctantly, but, you know, but sometimes you get in the ring, you get punched in the face. That's just what happens. But the punch made me stop. I seized up a little bit. I completely stopped moving, and my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my God. Whoa. So, you know, that happened. In the end, Tyler Copret retained the Pro South championship to end off a fantastic show. Overall, I love what Pro South is doing. They are for sure one of the more consistent shows in the area as far as storytelling goes. I'm going to be tuned in to see what's going to happen. You know what I mean? I'm really excited to see what's happening with Pro South and what's happening with everybody in Pro South, both in Pro South and outside of Pro South. Once again, by the time you hear this show, by the time you hear this episode, the December 4th episode of Pro South will have already happened. But you can still go to their YouTube and check it out. They're really good and they are deserving of your viewership. Finally, we're going to talk about a match that is pretty special to my heart personally. Featured at the Coastal Wrestling Federation in Milton, Florida, we're talking about Skrilla the Great versus Austin Towers. This match came together fairly quickly, if I remember correctly. A couple of us fans over on Facebook had proclaimed that we wanted to see this match, and CWF did the smart thing in making it happen. That is a testament to the power of the fans in this business. Someone mentioned this matchup on Facebook, a few of us caught wind of it and openly, outwardly agreed to it. And I want to say within a few hours, this match was booked at CWF. So promoters, listen to the fans because they will tell you what they want. This match was actually well put together from the very beginning. It was clear who should be cheered, who should be booed. Skrilla got on the mic to taunt the crowd before Towers even came out. And, you know, I think that that was some really great stuff. You know, it's always good to get the crowd riled up before the first bell even rings. I've heard quite a few people say that they don't like working with larger opponents for one reason or another. I think that Skrilla made it look really easy against Towers. And I think that he played his strategy very, very well. Instead of shying away from Towers and, like, you know, being the coward heel for most of the match, Skrilla took the fight to him a number of times. He played it really well psychologically by, like, making attempts to get Towers down to his level. And that's what I think a lot of people are missing. I've said it, I believe, twice in this episode now. If it don't make sense, it can't make dollars. I'm not expecting you to overpower somebody who has a height and weight advantage over you, because that's not realistic for most people. What I am expecting, especially if you're a heel, is for you to do whatever must be done to bring that person down to your level. Skrilla was raking eyes and had Towers in a sleeper hold for a good while that actually made him fall to a knee, which allowed Skrilla to be flat on his feet in the ring. That's just ring intelligence, you guys. That's just being smart and knowing what you're doing and playing to your strength and playing to what the crowd is not necessarily expecting. I'm sure they expected this to be a squash match. If you look at it on paper, Towers is, I don't know how much taller than Skrilla. He's got well over 100 pounds on him. You would think to most that this would be a squash match. And it wasn't. And I really, really, really dug that. Of course, Towers did his thing. He had plenty of powerhouse moments, such as that huge side slam that he did, and also those moments where he was able to get those big chops in on Skrilla. Now, Skrilla did take a couple liberties in this match, but again, I love that attitude out of heels. I love that. I love that by any means necessary attitude. Those are my favorite heels. Like, I know people are used to, like, the chicken shit heels who, you know, run away and scream and whatnot. And that's fine. That's very entertaining. But I also like the heels. I love the heels, rather, that we just gonna fight, big boy. And I'm gonna do whatever I gotta do to make sure that I come out on top. Ultimately, though, Towers picked up the victory in this match. Overall, this was a fantastic match, and I'm glad that this happened and is available to watch for everyone, because it's only a matter of time before both of these men are signing contracts somewhere. Mark my words, it's going to happen a lot sooner than a lot of people think. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you like what you are hearing right now, be sure to subscribe and follow the podcast wherever you're listening. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any number of other podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain to keep the conversation going. Let's get back to the show. For those who may not pay close attention, I have a phrase on this show when it comes to the wrestlers of larger nature. That phrase is big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. Typically, I use it when a big wrestler of the upper heavyweight and super heavyweight persuasion do something absolutely incredible. The man that I'm going to talk about in this week's Brass Ring segment is no different. This week, I am giving the brass ring to Aaron Black. I first saw Aaron in Rocket City Championship Wrestling, teaming with another one of my favorites, Austin Towers. Collectively, they are known as the West Coast Kings. Towers is the kind of wrestler who you can immediately look at. He's the kind of wrestler who immediately catches your attention. But much too often, I see people sleeping on my guy, Aaron Black. Aaron is what I like to call a cerebral mastermind. While most big men are only good for tossing their opponents from pillar to post and roaring at the crowd like a lion, Aaron does much more than that. Easily, Aaron Black is one of the best talkers on the indies. I would put money on this man in a promo versus against anyone with the utmost confidence. Not only is he a great talker, but his in-ring work is bar none. Aaron Black is a heavyweight who can move like a cruiserweight if he so chooses. He's quick on his feet, and he can hit a move before you even realize that the move is coming. His ability to switch and adapt within the match against any opponent is something that I feel only elite level wrestlers can do. I've seen this man wrestle in both tag teams and singles, and each time he is impressive. His creative mind is also unmatched. Privately, he's broken down some of his promos for me, and sometimes I find myself having to watch them 3 or 4 times just to make sure that I catch every reference, every word, and every foreshadowing phrase. He very much gives me Jake the Snake Roberts with his promos. He doesn't have to do too much. He doesn't have to overthink it. Aaron says what he means and means what he says. Very much a lost art when it comes to promo work. I've watched him break his opponents down during a match. I've watched him put big men on their backs with ease. And I've watched him toss around much smaller men. I have watched him break his opponents down into piles of nothing and walk away with a smile on his face. I think if given the opportunity, Aaron Black could be much more than a hype beast in any promotion. He has, to me, the charisma and the ability that would give him longevity if given a contract. He knows how to work a crowd to the point where if he's the heel, they're afraid of him. If he's the face, they want to see him whoop ass. I definitely believe he could be a long-standing fixture in any company. It is for all of those reasons that with all of my heart, I believe that Aaron Black should be, could be, and will be given the brass ring. Another episode down. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week to the following podcast is scheduled for One Fall. If you would like to keep up with the journey of this podcast, be sure to follow me on social media at Mr. Jordan McClain. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Be sure to follow the podcast wherever you're currently listening to it, whether that's Anchor, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or any other number of podcast apps. Wherever you find me, wherever you listen to me, go ahead and click follow so that way you do not miss any more segments. Hey, this is a community effort, this podcast. If you have something or somebody that I should be paying attention to that you want me to see, whether it's a show, a standalone match, your favorite independent wrestler, whomever from any part of the world, be sure to send them to me. Reach out. Tell me about them, who they are, their information, so that I can tune in and follow and keep up with them. That's the only way this thing grows. That's the only way you help me grow outside of just listening to the podcast. Once again, thank you guys so very much for listening. My name is Jordan McClain, and I'm out. Peace.